All right. Good afternoon, everybody. It's Dave Lindahl.
Good afternoon.
Paul. Hey. We've got nobody is muted out right now. So if you're on a cell phone outside, if you could mute yourself out. If you are on a speakerphone, if you could mute yourself out, that would be good. There's not going to be an operator on this call. It's just going to be us. So.
Hello?
Let's start with the call. The call is being recorded, you can. It's going to be sent out to everybody after this call as well. There's some people that couldn't make the call. But let's go over what we're going to talk about today, and that is number one. Hold on a second. See if I can mute everybody out. Okay, so I just muted everybody out, so you can hear me, and I get rid of all that background noise, and then I'll open it up for questions at the end. All right, so what we're going to cover today, what to wear, what to hand out, how to network, how to follow up, and then the meeting that we're going to have at the hotel itself. So as you know, the meeting is at the JW Marriott, which is different from where it was last year. It was actually at a convention center. But it's at the JW Marriott. That's where they've had it for the last 5 years, which is good, except for the last year. I actually didn't make it last year. Something happened right before I was about to leave, and Bob Bowman took my place. That won't happen this year. I am ready to go, and I will be there. So it's at the JW Marriott. It's up on the second floor. We're actually going to meet there the night before, and we'll meet up there on the second floor where the event's going to be taking place. There's a wide-open area there. It's going to be a short meeting, anywhere between 20 minutes to a half an hour, probably a stand-up meeting, and we're just going to go over what's going to happen the next day. Where the people are going to be located and where are some of the good spots to be at. So let's first of all talk about what to wear. This is going to be a group of high net worth. And first of all, let's talk about the event itself. So the event is a family office event. The people at the event are going to be either investors or people offering investments. So the event itself is an educational forum for family offices. These are families that have become very wealthy in some industry. It could be real estate. It could be many, many other industries. But they've got an average net worth of over $100 million. You have to have a minimum net worth of $50 million to open up a family office. And then the average is somewhere between $200 to $800 million. You'll meet people there that are worth billions. You may meet the actual family members themselves, which there won't be a lot of those, but what will be there will be the advisors for the family. So they're kind of like the gatekeepers. So the way you dress, what you're going to see is you're going to see the advisors there and the family members there I call it one side, but you won't be able to tell the difference until you actually introduce yourself to somebody. And then on the other side, there's going to be a lot of different investors with things to invest in. For instance, it's going to be all of us real estate people there, and not just us, but there's going to be a lot of other people there. Some of them will have booths. Most of the people that are offering investments have booths, the larger companies. There are going to be companies offering timber. There's going to be companies offering equities. There's going to be a lot of different offerings. And also... So that's what's happening on the outside of the room. On the inside of the room, there's going to be education. And there's going to be panels. Some of those panels are very interesting, by the way. If you do real estate right, you yourself will have a family office someday. So the education is good. So you can pick and choose what you're actually going to sit in on. Though most of the action takes place outside in the hallway. But during the really good educational pieces, most of the people are inside listening to the speakers. Those speakers on stage, just so you know, most of them are sponsor speakers. And what I mean by that is they've paid the Wilson Company, usually it's about $5,000 to be on a panel and $15,000 to speak for a 15-minute slot. How do I know this? Because I paid $15,000 to speak for a 15-minute slot. I'm going to be speaking between 10:15 and 10:30. Basically going to be teaching about emerging markets and what markets we're going to be the first ones out of the gate on the next recovery. So that being said, the reason I do that is most of you probably know I'm not a great networker, even though I try. One of the best techniques I know to network at an event This, by the way, this is a very easy event to network at because both sides know what they're looking for. Both sides know that there's going to be investors there, so you're a welcome guest, and they're looking for investments to invest in. And so when you meet somebody from the family office, you're basically asking them what they invest in. And if they invest in real estate, then you determine whether it's the type of real estate that you invest in as well. And if it's a match, you get to know each other. If it's no match, you just say some niceties and you move on. It's that easy, and everybody expects that at this event. That's why it's such an easy event to network. Even so, that being said, I still find it difficult to network. So what I do is I pay the fee. I pay the fee and I get in front of that stage. And you'll see, I think, you may see Nissan. I know he's paid the fee in the past to speak on the stage. I know Jeff Kissy has paid the fee in the past to speak on the stage. So you will see other students or other people from our organization that you may know that maybe have speaking slots as well. I haven't seen the schedule, so I'm not sure. So how do you dress at this particular event? You want to dress nicely. You want to be in business attire. You don't have to be in a real power suit with a red tie and all that, but you definitely want to be in a suit. You, in most cases, want to have a tie on. You want to look professional. You want to look like somebody that's going to be able to handle an investment for somebody and give them the return back. Remember, the number one question in somebody's mind is whether or not you're going to give them their money back when you're talking to them about investments. If you're a lady, again, professional attire. Just look smart, basically. You know, you want to look good. You will see people at that event dressed in all different ways. The guys that have the equities, the stocks and the bonds, they're always dressed to the nines. The people with the alternative investments, like maybe the cryptocurrencies, timber guys, those guys that will be selling timber, the fish farms, they'll be there as well. They'll be dressed probably a little bit dressed down a little bit. But you don't have to be dressed to the nines. You just want to be dressed smartly. You'll see on the other side, the family offices, usually the advisors that represent the family offices, they'll be in a suit. Usually the family members, you can tell who they are by the way they dress because the clothes that they wear just ooze money, if you know what I mean. So they just look like they're the part. But then there'll be some people there that will be dressed down. And until you get to know that particular person, you won't know if they're a family member, a family office, or an investor with an investment. So don't judge a book by its cover there. You know, be talking to as many people as you can. So what to wear, dress smartly. What to hand out. So you do not want to bring property packages with you, 30-page property packages. You want a one-page executive summary. If you have a property that you think that somebody may be interested in investing in, a one-page executive summary describing what the property is and what it's all about is enough. They won't read anymore. You hand out these large booklets or even slide decks about you and your company, people aren't going to read them. They're going to throw them away. So if you don't have a property to invest in, or even if you do, you want a one-page executive summary about your company. Who you are, where you're from, what you invest in. Hold on a second. Okay, good. I'm sorry, somebody just came in my office. So who you are, where you're from, what you invest in, you know, what your background might be, history about, you know, what you've done, if you've done anything. Just put yourself out in the best possible light and hand that out as well as a business card. Now, you don't necessarily have to have that one-page executive summary about yourself. It's not a requirement. But if you're going to hand anything out, don't hand anything out more than one page. If you do have a property, you can hand a one-page property package, and you can hand out a one-page executive summary. But other than that, hand out a business card. Okay? And it should be a business card that they can write on. Don't get one of these glossy business cards that people can't write on, because if you're smart, the business cards that you take from other people, you will write some sort of a note on that to remind you of who this person is. They will do the same about you while you're looking or maybe while you're not looking. So get business cards that they can write on to remind them of who you are. Let's talk about how to network. So like I said, this is a really, really easy event to network at because the family offices and their advisors expect to be solicited. They actually go there. with interest to be in creating new relationships. And when I say relationship, this is really a relationship-based group. So when you, if you have a property package there for a property, you will not get a commitment on that particular day. You will get interest, okay? And that's really what you're looking for. You're looking for interest. You're looking to form some sort of commonality. You're looking to set up that second meeting. And a lot of times with these family offices, it's not even a second meeting where you'll get the, some sort of a commitment, especially if you're meeting with the advisor, because then they've got to go present to the family. But that family advisor needs to vet you out, or wants to vet you out before they present you to the family. If you're talking to a family member, that family member really wants to be comfortable that this is going to be a long-term relationship. Everything they do at these meetings is long-term. So you want to be long-term focused when you're there. You do not want to be talking about 3 to 5 year holds. If you have a property package, do not put that on your property package, a 3 to 5 year hold. They're looking for anywhere from a 10 to a 20 to a 30 year investment. These people, these family offices are looking for to invest in things that they can pass down to the next generation. So what if that's not the type of investment we do? Then we structure it so there's some sort of a buyout from 3 to 5 years. Some sort of a buyout that that they can buy you out if that's what if that's what they want. But they want to hold. They're not quote unquote emerging market investors, although they do like to invest in properties that are B type of properties that have some sort of a value add. They're also core and core plus, which means the A type of properties with lower returns. They're okay with those, but those really aren't what we do. So when you're networking and you're explaining the type of deals that you do, you want to tell them that you invest in primary markets or the submarkets to primary markets. This is important. You want to write this down. Primary markets or the submarkets to primary markets. That you invest in B properties. Do not mention C properties. They do not like to invest in C properties. They want to invest in A's and B's. B's are good. A's are probably better, but that's not our wheelhouse. C's are not good. Don't mention them. Do not mention secondary markets. Somebody came late one time after I had the meeting, and I was walking into the hotel after being out with some friends. I've got a lot of friends down in Miami. So after being out with some friends who I hadn't seen in a while, it was probably 10:30 at night, I was walking in. And she says, "Oh, Dave, I just got here. You know, I missed the phone call, and I missed the meeting tonight. What do I do tomorrow?" I was like, "Oh, yeah, great." 10:30 at night. So I sat down with her and I said, "Give me your pitch." So she gave me the pitch and she said, "Oh, you know, I'm so-and-so and I invest in Ohio, Columbus, Ohio and the southern and Cleveland, Ohio and somewhere in Indiana." And that's the wrong thing to say. They don't want to invest in Ohio. They don't want to invest in St. Louis. They don't want to invest in Cincinnati where the markets are good right now. They want to be looking at the primary markets and the primary submarkets. So even if you're not investing in those markets right now, that's what you want to say to get your foot in the door, because when this next correction happens, that's where you may be. Also, these people want to stroke a check for between $4 to $5 million. So when you say the types of properties that you invest in and the size of the property, okay, typically your buy is anywhere from $10 to $20 million. Let them know that. Usually a $15 million property is a $4 million check. That's probably the minimum that they want to write. So that's what you have to be prepared for. Some people will tell you that the minimum they want to write is a $25 million check. And you're thinking, "Oh, you want to buy the property outright?" And they're thinking, "No, they want a $100 million property." So don't be surprised when that happens as well. Now, if somebody says, you know, "What do you have?" or "What type of investing do you do?" You know, we like to do deals that are $75 to $100 million. You just have to be honest with them and tell them, you know, that's not where you're at right now. The types of deals that you typically do are between $5 and $15 million. You know, eventually if you get up to that particular level, you'll take your card and maybe you'll do business in the future. And just move on. Don't try to bullshit anybody about, you know, you do those types of deals or you're looking to do those types of deals. If they're outside of what you're doing, they're outside of what you're doing. That's cool. This place is like Match Game. let's match. You do the type of real estate that I like to do, then let's do business. If you don't, fine, let's go on to the next person. And again, that's what makes this this event so easy to network at, because you basically, you're going to find a lot of people that are investors as well, real estate investors, all the other investments that I talked about, startup company investors, tech investors, and all that. And just, you know, introduce you say, hey, my name is Dave, you know, what's yours, what do you do? Oh, I'm an investor. Oh, what do you invest in? Oh, I invest in real estate. Oh, great, I'm a real estate investor too. How are you finding the conference? Good, excellent. Good luck. Move on. Okay, let's say you meet a family advisor or a family member, and you say, hi, my name is Dave, and they say, hi, I'm so-and-so from so-and-so family office. So, oh, great. What type of investments do you look for? Oh, we like to invest in fish farms. Oh, do you ever invest in real estate? Well, not really. Well, you don't. Okay, great. Well, I'm a real estate investor, and this is the type of investing I do. Great. Nice to meet you. Move on. Good luck at the conference. Then you get the one where I'm so-and-so, and I'm a family office, and I invest in multifamily real estate. We like to buy and be properties in primary and secondary markets. Bingo. Now you've got one. Okay, so now you're looking at, you know, what markets are they? Don't ever mention a market, by the way. Don't mention the markets that you invest in. Only say primary and secondary markets, and let them mention the markets that they like. Write that on their card, because if you get a good relationship with a good whale, you'll move to that market because you'll have the funding for all of your deals by going to that particular market. So never mention a market. Let them mention the markets. You just mentioned primary and secondary markets. So when you meet somebody, so now it's, all right, so what do we have in common? That's really important with these people. You know, what kind of commonality do you have? What type of relationship can you build together? Get that commitment for that next phone call. After you talk for a little bit, maybe it's going really well, and the next commitment to lunch, or maybe the next commitment to dinner. Okay, that's why we don't have meetings at the event, because people make commitments to meet with people, and those meetings were very, this will be the fourth time that I've done this field trip. And the meetings that we were going to have never really materialized because people are doing other things. So those are the three different types of encounters that you'll have. All right. So the other thing is people are expected for people to walk up to them. So in this particular instance, the best time to be networking is in the morning at breakfast. So go early, you know, start picking out your targets, you know. I forget what time it starts, but at least be there at least a half an hour before it starts, about 45 minutes. On that second floor is pretty narrow. It's going to get pretty busy, and there's tables there. And those tables are that you stand around, and it's a buffet breakfast, and you'll stand around those tables. So those tables fill up very quickly. So you want to get there early for that as well. And also, the nice thing about this is when you see a group of people, you can literally walk up to them and introduce yourself. You don't want to be rude and break in and introduce yourself, but you can literally get into the circle by just like kind of working your way in, and it's expected. You're accepted. And then just wait for that opportunity to say, hey, my name's Dave. And it would be great if you can introduce yourself to everybody in the circle, and if maybe it's just the guy next to you, that's fine too. Certainly for the people that are one-offs, those are the people that I like to go after. I like to see people that are just standing there by themselves, or maybe they're in the buffet line, maybe they're in the coffee line, and I'll walk over to them and I'll say, hi, how are you doing? My name is Dave Lindahl. I'm a real estate investor. What do you do? Sometimes the easiest thing for me to say, being someone who's an introvert and not really liking networking, is during those breaks, I will go and I will say, hi, my name is Dave Lindahl. My goal, I'm a real estate investor, and my goal is to meet two people during this break. Will you be willing to be one of them? And you'd be surprised how accepting people are, and how they light up, big smile, and it's like, oh yeah, what do you do? And then of course, you know, you meet more than two, fine, you know, four, six, eight, doesn't matter. You still say the same line. I'm looking to meet two people during this break. Would you be willing to be one of them? So the prime networking times are in the morning, they're during the breaks, during lunch. All right. The secret during lunch is to the table that you're sitting at. All right. Usually, if you're watching the conference at all, the table that you're sitting at, bring your lunch to another table. You meet a whole new group of people. Every time you go to sit down for a lecture, oh, by the way, the good times to meet new people are in between the lectures, okay, in between the speakers. So when people are moving in and out or in between the breaks. So you go to a new table, you see people sitting there, you just sit down and you start introducing yourself. When you're sitting to the person next to you, it's just common that people are expecting to be introduced to you and for you to introduce yourself to each other. So that's prime time right there. So don't sit at the same table when you're at those breaks. Just move to a different table. With the lectures, again, move to a different table. You'll see people, they'll spend their entire time outside of the event. That's good. You'll meet a lot of people there. Most of the family offices spend their time inside the event. You'll be able to pick off different people. But you don't want to look like a vulture. You don't want to look like that person that's ready to jump on somebody right when they go out through those doors. So just be careful of the perception that you may give when you're doing that. The other prime time to network is during the cocktail hour, which will happen both days, actually, at the end of the sessions. And it's right outside in that hallway as well where we're going to meet. They have a bar. I'm pretty sure it's an open bar. And they have hors d'oeuvres. So basically, again, just move your way and work your way into circles and talk to people. Again, really easy to do. So that's the networking aspect of this. The next thing, after you've got a ton of business cards from people and you leave the events, is the follow-up. So rate those cards in terms of who you think your best prospects are and then call them. You may send an email and introduce yourself. I've gotten very few responses from emails. I just call, and I'll be really persistent on the calls. And you just call them, and you probably get their voicemail or the secretary, some sort of a gatekeeper, and you just say, hey, and call the very next day. I think it's Wednesday. It's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I think Thursday's the day back. Call the very next day. Make all your phone calls. Make sure that you're fresh on their minds, and then start that process. And what you'll say to the gatekeeper or on their voicemail is say, hey, it's Dave Lindell. I met you at the Wilson Conference. I know there's a lot of people there. I just wanted to follow up. Make sure you write something personal down on that card, okay, like, you know, about themselves, about their lives, about whatever the commonality is. And I just wanted to reintroduce myself and see if I could get a time that we could spend a little bit more time together. If you remember, we talked about boom, 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 and then go down that list, because everybody's going to meet so many people that everything's going to be a blur. So you've got to personalize that phone call somehow so that they call you back. And then you can do the same thing via email, but I find, and you should probably do that as well. Hey, I just called you. You know, I'm looking to set up another time that we could talk, and then send that email. And just be persistent, be persistent, be persistent. You know, call every couple of days until you finally get them and set up that meeting. In the next meeting, you may talk to them a little bit more on the phone, you build more rapport, and then you're going to meet them in their office. Their office is probably going to be in Miami. It's going to be in New York City, wherever their family office is. It's usually not where the family is located. It's usually where the family office is located. If you meet a family member, very rarely will you get another meeting with a family member. They will put you to their advisor, and the advisor will vet you out. But they'll let the advisor know, you know, how they feel about you. So we've covered what to wear, what to hand out, how to network, to follow up and follow up in person. I'm gonna be speaking there, and I'm gonna be speaking there from 10:15 to 10:30. One of the things I do is I offer my book, Emerging Real Estate Markets, and it's one of the ways I get people to come back to the booth, and I get to meet a lot of people in a very short period of time. So I'm gonna ask you, please do not come back for a book. Because if you don't have it, I'll be happy to send it to you. Just send me an email, and please don't. I'm just going to audit, and so I'm trying to get as many people as I can. You know, these books. Number one, number two. If you see me at the table and I'm talking to somebody, please don't come up to me. If I haven't met you, I'll be happy to. I would love to meet everybody. You know, but please let's meet the night before where we're going to, or sometime where there's not people around, or before I speak, because after I speak, then I'm going to have the different people from the family offices coming up. So those are the only two things I ask there. If you want to, you know, talk about strategy during the break, or you see me outside in the hallway, if you see me outside in the hallway, I am not out there trying to network, you know, because number one, I won't need to after I offer that book. And number two, I'll just be hanging out. So if you want to strategize, you see me hanging out in the hallway, and I'm not talking to somebody, then feel free to come up to me. I'll be happy to strategize. You meet a whale that you want to share with me, or, you know, I'll be happy to help you out in any way possible. Just the same thing if you see one of the other students. You know, everybody's going to meet each other the night before. If you see another student talking with somebody, you know, don't try not to interrupt if you can help it. If you want to talk to the, you know, the other student. And the last thing I wanted to talk about is the meeting at the hotel. So we are going to meet at that hotel at 7 o'clock. That should give everybody enough time to get in. I think I get in around 5. And we're going to meet up on that, I think it's the second floor. Maybe it's the third floor. But it's the floor where the event's going to be held. Outside of the doors, there's a big opening there. And I'm pretty much going to reiterate what we talked about here. But I'll just point out some different areas where people tend to congregate at this particular hotel. And we'll just do another run through as to what it's all about. So that being said, I am going to open it up for questions. And I think to unmute yourself, you press *6 to ask a question. So because I know there's at least 35 people on this line, I don't want everybody jumping out here at once. Here we go.
You have a question.
Hello?
Hey, I can hear you.
Hey, okay. So my question is, so let's say we meet one of these advisors and, you know, we go through the whole process, we follow up, we meet with them, you know, we fly out to wherever they're at. They want to invest in the deal. Let's say we don't have a whole lot of capital. You know, is it ideal that we are able to get some of these 100% funded using them for first position,
yeah.
You know, let's just say they do 80 or 90%.
That's a good question. This is how that works, by the way. If somebody asks you how much skin you're putting into the game, you tell them that you put 10%, and that 10% is actually going to be the part of the acquisition fee. So don't tell these people that you're not putting any money down. You just let them know that you put 10% of the equity in. That's number one. Number two, they're going to ask you, you know, what typical yields do you get, or what typical yields do you buy at? When you hear the word yield, they're actually saying what cap rate do you buy at. All right, so just remember that as well. If somebody asks you what yield it is that you buy at, so they're, like I said, they're happy to do a 90-10, and you'll hear that as well. You know, what type of splits are you looking for in the equity? What type of splits are you looking for in the deal? You know, typically what you would ask them is what's your minimum return? What are your return requirements? Because if they ask you for an 80-20, a typical split on Wall Street for an equity fund is 80-20, meaning you get 20% of the deal and they get 80% of the deal. But that doesn't make sense for us, especially in a value-add situation where there's going to be a return of 18 to 20 to 25% plus. For them to get 80% of that and you only 20% of that, you know, that doesn't make any sense for you. So what you would say is the returns are negotiable. Ask them what their minimum requirements are for return. Your returns are negotiable. You know, the one thing you like to do is create deals that work for both parties, and that's what you'll do. Did that answer your question?
Okay. Yes. And is there anything I can read? That we can read or something, or is it already in maybe the private money one or something, so we could just read through it and just engrave it into our brain or have a better understanding?
About
the returns. So, you know, like you said, like an 80-20, like what's ideal for us?
What's ideal for you is a 75-25.
75-25, okay.
Yeah, and if the deal's better. So I would say if they ask you what returns, what splits do you do, you would say it's deal dependent. You know, typically we like to get you whatever your minimum return is, whatever minimum return you require, and then do a split on the rest.
Okay, got it.
Hey, Dave?
Yes?
It's Jennifer. Are you? Sorry, I don't want to interrupt the person who was just on. Are you done?
Oh, yeah, I'm done. Yes.
Okay, cool. I don't get in until 7:40 on Monday, so I think we pretty much cover what we're going to cover in that meeting anyway, right?
There won't be anything new. No.
Okay, great.
I will talk about how the layout is. But
okay.
Oh yeah.
I'll figure
that. What time is that meeting?
7 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I get in at 7 also.
Yeah. So you'll have everything I talked about here. It will prepare you for that event.
Okay.
Great.
Just go. Get there early for breakfast and just start picking out targets.
What time do you get there on the first day?
I get there about a half an hour before.
What time? I can't remember what time we start, but I'll find out.
I don't know what time the breakfast is.
Yeah.
Let me take a look at it. I just got an email from the Wilson people. Okay. It looks like it starts at...
I think it starts at 7 o'clock, Dave.
Oh, you know what? There's a cocktail reception between 4 and 6 on Monday night. So anybody that goes in early should go to that cocktail reception, and there's your first set of targets. I won't be at that. I'll be in that the same place where that cocktail reception is at 7. And we'll have a meeting there. But there's your first opportunity for to meet people between 4 to 6 on Monday night. Tuesday, it looks like it starts at 8, and the check-in starts at 7. So I usually get there about 7:30, because like I said, I'm not a big fan of networking. And at this particular event, I have the advantage of speaking.
Yeah. You started to address cap rates, and that sentence didn't really get finished. Is that an answer we're going to need to have? I mean, for the Holy Trinity,
the reason I brought that up is because they're going to ask you what yield are you typically buying at. And when they ask that, they're asking what cap rate. So when you say 7.5 to 8, some of them will be like, wow, where are you getting that? Or, what types of properties you're buying? You just tell them you're buying, B properties that have some sort of a value add.
Okay. Can I go as low as 6? Because my thought is coming out of the Wilson Conference, all right, great, because that would open up some new markets to me and some new properties that I've missed out on because I'm syndicating.
There will be people that are happy with a 6.
Okay. But in essence, just ask the question and let them finish the answer as often as possible.
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
They'll provide
okay.
you information that you can work on. Good point.
Okay, that's all I was asking. Next.
All right.
Thank you.
See you there.
Yeah.
Who else has a question? Press star 6 if you'd like to.
Yeah, Dave, this is Srini. How are you? Yeah, Dave, a couple of questions. Will the family offices will be interested in commercial retail centers or singleton and triple net properties besides multifamily?
Yes. They'll be interested in all types of investments. Not every family will, but it's a numbers game. You just introduce yourself and you find the people that you match with, and then you go from there.
Right. And what kind of typical returns, I think, you have experienced? It's same like preferred return of 8% plus. Is there a hurdle rate they're looking at?
What are they looking for? They're looking for anywhere from 6 plus.
Yeah and what
with these people, but remember, they're buying, a lot of times they're buying A-class properties, so they get
right.
6.
Right. And then overall annualized return, what kind of range it is? Is it like 15%? Because in our multifamily value add, typical,
15 plus, definitely.
Yeah. And is stabilized properties are also okay, or is value add is only preferred?
Oh no, they like all.
They like all.
They like value add because of the money you can make. But they're very comfortable with A properties, and they'll ask you if you have any deals that are off market, because a lot of times they know most of the deals that are on market. So that's
right.
A good question, by the way. Do you know of or have any off market deals? If you get the right broker, you will have pocket money.
Right. And the meeting with you is on 7 p.m. on Monday, right? It's.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. That's all, Dave. Thanks.
Okay.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Would you kindly review the dress requirements for the men, please?
You want to dress smart. You want to dress in a suit and a tie, white
okay.
shirt, nothing funky. You don't want to look like an empty
okay.
guy, but you want to look like, you want to look like you can give them their money back. You know what I mean? So it's business. It's definitely, it's not business casual. It's business. You don't look good.
Oh, okay. It's business.
Okay. To give you an idea, I'll be probably in a blue pinstripe suit, not bold pinstripes, very conservative. And I will be wearing a white shirt with probably a purple tie. Make sure your shoes are shined. They'll be looking, believe
yep.
me.
Hey, Dave, can you turn your phone up a little bit? You're fading and everybody else is coming in loud.
How's that?
A little better.
Hey, Dave?
Yeah.
Hey, what about new construction?
Yep.
Do you
they like
bring
that
up? They do?
Oh, yeah, you can certainly bring that. If you're doing new construction, there'll be people that are interested in that. They really are interested in the new construction and buying it outright at the end.
Well, and also, it's a student housing new construction. So that may be, hopefully that'll be a plus. But, okay. All right.
Definitely.
What about cap rates? Is the target cap rates for A's, is it still 6-7%? And for B's, 8-9%?
Wait a minute. You got to talk a little bit more into your mic. What did you say?
So what about, so for cap rates, for A class, are they still, so is the target still 6-7%? And then
no,
for B,
A class, it could be, it depends on the market, but an A class is going anywhere from 4-6. And the B's, again, the market dependent, go from 6-8.
B is 6-8.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, who's got another question? No more?
It's rock and roll, baby.
All right. So it's going to be a really good event.
Dave, I have one more.
Okay.
I have one more. You know what? Never mind. It's a dumb question. I'm not asking it. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Probably somebody else has the same question.
I couldn't get a room at the Marriott. I'm down the road. Is that that's not going to be a handicap of any kind. That's a dumb question. Yeah, I withdraw the question.
Definitely going to be a handicap.
Okay.
I'm not even sure if I get a room.
It was tight.
I signed up late. But,
the courtyard is right around the corner, so I got a room there.
Room.
So, good luck.
Right,
yeah. Okay. Sure.
All right, so the event's going to be good. This recording is going to be sent out to everybody, so you can re-listen to it again if you'd like to. We're going to meet at the hotel at 7 o'clock for a brief meeting, anywhere from 20 minutes or so, 20 minutes to a half an hour. And then it's game on. Well, actually, it's game on for those of you that are going in early. So, start the process. Don't worry about it if you don't have any deals. Don't worry about it if you're just starting out. Your basic, if you are just starting out, is just get to talking to these people and understanding, who they are, what they do, and the realization that there is an endless amount of money out there as long as you make the right connections. And that's what's going to actually give you the confidence to propel you to go out and get more deals. Because I think one of the things that prevents people from getting deals is they're afraid they don't know where they're going to get the money. But when you get into, unfortunately, these people don't want to do the smaller deals. They want to do $15-plus million deals typically. But you will get there, and when you get there, you will know that the money is available. And that might be one of the things that will get you there faster and get that fear out of your subconscious. So,
I have a question. Yeah, I have a question. Sorry. Okay, so a lot of us here, it's going to be we're working on our first deal. So shooting for big deals like that, let's just say we shoot for a $50 million deal, and we're able to find one that meets the right criteria. Is this something that they're actually interested in investing with us, although it would be our first project?
Well, that's the thing. They're definitely interested in investing in those projects, but that is not something that you can do as your first deal. Because there's so much you need to know in order to get into a deal like that, that you just don't know it. So you're
what about even with a sponsor?
No, you can do it with a sponsor. I'm talking about knowledge, a knowledge base. To do a $50 million deal, the knowledge base that you need for that deal, it's progression. You could start off with a $10 or a $15 million deal, maybe even a $20. That would be a stretch. But to go right out and do a 50, I personally have not done a $50 million deal. The largest deal I've done is in the 30s. We were going after a couple $100 million deals, but they didn't. We didn't win the final bids. So I wouldn't be thinking like that. You want to be performing at a level that you're comfortable. You want to go here, and you just want to understand how this game is played with these people. Understand that what the opportunity is out there, which is huge. And that's going to propel you forward. But don't jump into something that you're not ready for. And a $50, $100 million deal is just not there. And don't be afraid to be honest with these guys. The last thing you want to do is bullshit these people, because if they think you're bullshitting them, they will not start a relationship with you. So just be honest with them. And then, maybe you get a person that wants to do a $50+ million deals, and right now you're not doing that. But 2 years from now, you are doing those deals, and you kept that card. And you call that person back and say, "Hey, remember me? We met at the Wilson conference, and just wanted you to know that, you know, my company has been doing these types of deals and been performing, and you know, now we're going to the next level of these types of deals. And I remember talking to you about these deals. Is there a time that I can sit down and talk to you more about this?" That's okay. What you're doing. You're setting up your future.
Okay. And speaking of the future, we definitely need to add them on LinkedIn, right? And then would you recommend that we add them on Facebook too?
No.
Or just LinkedIn?
Are you going to request that you go on their LinkedIn?
Yes, add them on LinkedIn.
Add them on yours.
Add them on mine so that, you know, we could keep in touch and they could just, you know, see our profiles.
I wouldn't do it through LinkedIn. I would do it through communication. The more you talk with these people, the better.
Gotcha.
Digital correspondence is not the best way to correspond.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. So, again, recording's being sent out to everybody. We're going to meet the night before, 7 o'clock at the hotel, and bring your A game. It's going to be a lot of fun. Even if you don't bring your A game and you stumble along, that's okay. That's what it's all about. It's all about, you know, learning and getting out there and being in the arena. And as you practice, you get better. So I'll see everybody there. All right. Bye,
everybody.
Thanks, Dave.
Welcome.
Thanks, Dave.